Acts chapter 2, we are looking at the day of Pentecost. It is a famous day. This church, Assemblies of God Church, is called a Pentecostal church. Why? Because we trace our roots back to the day of Pentecost. Amen? All right. Bible says, are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, I see some people turning. All right. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we know that you are a miracle-working God. Lord, and that you are a God of change, Lord, and that you touch us, Lord, and that you equip us and empower us, Lord, that we might see incredible change in the lives around us. We give you praise for that, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. And I ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
And everyone said?
Amen.
And that should be a little bit higher pitched today because we have all these ladies here today. Day of Pentecost. Celebrating another day, Mother's Day. Oops. Where? Oh, what? Oh, did you move my stuff, bro? You did. Oh, never moved my stuff. Mother's Day. No, wait a second. Day of Pentecost. Let's just do this again. Yes, it's a special day. Today we come together on a different day, Mother's Day. Can I get a witness on that, ladies?
Yeah.
Now, see, wasn't that worth going back and doing that right? Yes. See, Mother's Day is a special day. Mother's Day differs from Father's Day in that Mother's Day pretty much has a color. You know, Mother's Day is like pink, right? I mean, it's like there's all this stuff. In fact, today we have, for your dining pleasure, color-coded paperware, I guess we would call it, and we're going to put colorful things on there, and it's just going to be wonderful and special for you ladies. For Father's Day, I don't even know that we notice the plates. We're just looking at what is on it. Now, except in years gone past, you know, all I cared about was give me the meat. Right? Give me the meat. Now, we got the Camachos are teaching us that meat, you know, still, Father's Day, got to have what, men?
Meat.
Yes. And so, so Mother's Day, Father's Day, very different. And another different day is Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. Now, we take a look at Mother's Day, and we can read in the Bible. Timothy said you can find anything in the Bible. That there are some verses that show us that God has some very motherly qualities, some very mothering attributes. One is such, when Jesus sees Jerusalem, Luke chapter 13, verse 34, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Now, doesn't that sound kind of like a motherly attribute of God, that he is considerate and caring and loving for all of us and that he would gather us together?
Amen?
Amen? Now, today we come to the day of Pentecost, and it's a little bit more like Father's Day. You talk about the promise of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we took a look at about 2 or 3 weeks ago, says you're going to receive what? Power, right? Not really a Mother's Day word, right? You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is more like a football challenge or something like that. Tenemos clase en español abajo. Sí, sí. Por los niños también. Okay? Pretty good, eh? Can I get applause on that? Thank you very much. I know one sentence. No, that's not true. But this is more of a dad thing, kind of like getting padded up for the big game. You'll get the pads on out there. Get out there, kid, and make an impact. And that's what God says about this day of Pentecost. He says, you are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it's not just for men. You know, it was crazy. Now that the youth are gone, I can speak freely. But they were celebrating at Joe and Josh's and Leanne's school the fact that the girls' softball team took the city league, right? And I'm like, wait a minute, guys. What happened with the baseball team? They won like 2 games. The girls' soccer team, they went to the state championship. Boys' soccer team won 3 games. Come on, where's the dichotomy? You know, what's up with this, guys? They're going, well, we're going to get better. God is talking about making his people better. Amen? As we talk about the day of Pentecost, we talk about the day that the disciples and the apostles were transformed into agents of change. They started the church on the day of Pentecost. The title of today's message is A Day for Change. Are we good?
Amen.
All right, let's take a look at this day. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place, and suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind. They didn't have any amps. They didn't have any amplification like this. It sounded like a loud noise, right? The violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. God works in a group. All these people were together in one place. Bible tells us, Acts chapter 1, that there was about 120 believers at this time. And they were meeting in this upper room. You say, what were these 120 people doing in this upper room? Well, the Bible tells us what they were doing. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, they all joined constantly together in prayer. Now, that's a lot of prayer. Amen? Right. We had some prayer going on last night. It was quite dynamic. There was a focus. There was a focus on the Lord. And in the lives of these 120 believers, there was a focus on the Lord. And as I read the Bible, God notices when people are focused on him. Amen?
Amen.
He says, the eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer.
Amen.
You want to get your prayers answered, put your focus on the Lord. Amen? Spend some time. You take a look at the timeline that was going on in Jesus' life in Jerusalem at that time. He was crucified, raised 3 days later, walked amongst the disciples for 40 days. The day of Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. So for 4, 5, 6, 7 days, something like that, these 120 believers are gathered together constantly with a focus on God.
Amen.
God wants your focus. God wants your attention. He is paying attention to what you do. God works in a group just like this one. Amen?
Amen.
God also works in individuals. So he works in the group as a whole, and then he works in each one individually. He works in the church as a whole, and he works in each one of us how? Individually. He has a plan for everyone here.
Amen.
He has a plan for you and you and you. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. So they gathered in a group. They put their focus on the Lord as a group, and each one had God do something special in his life, in his soul, in his heart, in his mind. Tongues of fire came to rest on each one of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So God works in the group, and God works in individuals. And these tongues of fire, I mean, hey, they knew what fire was back in the day, right? I mean, that's how they cooked. That's how they lit their homes at night. There was fire. And one thing as well, I mean, I tell you what, if there was fire on the ceiling right now, how many of you would be a tad alarmed? Oh, yeah. Now, how many do you think might have been alarmed back in the day? Well, I'll tell you what, we've got fire retardant stuff here and all kinds of fire resistant stuff. But you know what they lived in? They lived in mud huts or mud, you know, block walls with thatched roofs. Now, That's a thatched roof. How dry do you figure that thatched roof is? I mean, if you threw a match on that thatched roof, how long do you think it would just take to go, right? And do you think any sparks would come off of that thatched roof and maybe catch the neighbor's roof on fire? I tell you what, fear of fire. And how much water do they have in Jerusalem? I mean, it's in the middle of the desert. They had aqueducts, drink water, and all that kind of stuff. Go down to TJ, right? What do you got? You got 50-gallon drums in front of people's houses, right? Might be getting up colonies and stuff. I tell you what, if your house is on fire, how much is 50 gallons going to do for you? So, what they didn't have was fire trucks. And so as that fire came and started, oh, we got fire, watch out! It would have been less than comfortable. You guys are not worried about your comfort. Obviously, right? He wouldn't have used fire if he was worried about what they might have been concerned about. We look for people, we celebrate people who surrender their comfort. God is looking for people who would surrender their comfort and put a focus on Him. When you surrender your surrender your comfort and put your focus on God, you'll find power. Find the power of God. You know who surrenders their comfort around us today? Our moms. Our moms. What happened to my mom? I had a mom thing in there. Remember that other Happy Mother's Day thing? Picture it up there right now. Happy Mother's Day, right? We celebrate our moms because so much our moms sacrifice their comfort to take care of their children. Amen? Isn't that why we love our moms? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, no, that's, don't. When I messed up, just leave it alone because now I got other things. All right, here we go. Could have been in the wrong spot. All right, let me find out where I'm at. Okay, fire truck. There we go. Yes, okay. Baptized in the Spirit, okay? They were speaking in tongues. John the Baptist talks about this. He says, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so this is the stuff that they knew was coming down the pike. And there are promises for you that you can wait upon, that you can rely upon, that you can put your focus on God and say, God, I am waiting for your promises to roll into my life because I need to be equipped. Now, what happened to these people, we're going to take a look at that in just a minute, is they began to speak in tongues, these other languages. And we're going to take a look next week at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Samaria, and the following week at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Cornelius' house, and we're going to track the sequence of what happens. Because people were paying attention. And they wrote it down. And we can take a look. Oh, how does this whole empowerment baptism thing work? We don't want to be confused in that.
That's right.
Now we come to this picture. This is Lisa's nephew. Grandnephew. This is her niece and her son, Micah, right? And they came about, how long ago, 3 weeks ago? And they were celebrating a birthday. Something, yeah. And they brought the kid. And Mike and Lisa and Leanne were celebrating the fact that they get to watch this kid. And he's fine, you know, he's kind of little. But and he's there and he's making little noises and they're recording him and doing all this stuff, you know, and then he's like on his face. You know, and his movement is just arching his back. And it's kind of like a boat, you know, just kind of whoa. And then, you know, Hope says he can get up from his right side. I'm like, oh, really? Can't do it from the left side? And she goes, yeah, and then he'll do this. And you know why? She studies that kid. I mean, you moms know, oh, of course, you know when your kid and how he's getting up. And I mean, can he stand yet? He can sit up. Oh, now. And she probably knows how he sits. And he'll sit like this. And then he'll do this. And he'll scooch backwards. She knows everything about that kid. because she studies that kid. And as we take a look today and next week and the following week on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to go through this sequence on how it worked, because they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. And that was the first thing they did. It wasn't the last thing they did.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people say, oh, she goes, get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, going to speak in tongues, and then I'm done. I'll tell you what. This was the beginning. This was not the end. There was an empowerment. There was a focus on the Lord. And as they surrendered that comfort and they focused on the Lord, they received power.
Amen.
They spoke in tongues, but did a whole lot more. So we're going to take a look at that for the next 3 weeks. Are we good on that?
Amen.
Come back. You'll like it. All right, here we go. God is looking for focus. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this, now that was not every nation. It was kind of, you know, like a saying, you know what I mean? All right. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. This is the day of Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost, one of the three great feasts, and the population of Jerusalem was swelled to 2 or 3 times its normal size. It's kind of like, you know, 4th of July, man, when hundreds of thousands, like 500,000 people going out to the beach, right? It's not normal. It swells. That's what Jerusalem was like on the day of Pentecost. And so this is happening, right? It's a feast of Pentecost. And they hear this commotion going on, the wind and all this kind of stuff. And a crowd comes, right? Crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Well, this is unique. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? These people took notice. These people were focused on what God was doing. Amen? God is looking for attention and God is looking for focus, right? And there were some questions. They couldn't understand what was happening. Now, there's a list here. I got this map here. This is a map of, you know, basically ancient Middle East. All right? And it goes through a list. This is verses, Acts chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It talks about the people that heard these disciples speaking in their own language, right? And he talks about the Parthians. You see, I'm going to make these changes here. The Medes, the Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, I missed one, there we go, Libya, Rome, Crete, and Arabs. Okay? And so what we have is this map, and I'm looking at this map, and I'm thinking, hey, man, there's some big old gaps on this map. You know, what's God doing? What's God doing here? And I realize as I'm reading that God's not working the map. God is working the crowd. Amen?
Amen.
It says that everybody who was there, well, there's some people. I'll tell you what, you notice there's a big old gap here. We talk about Samaria next week. Big old gap in Samaria. Weren't no Samaritans at the Feast of Pentecost. Why? Because they hated the Jews. Didn't have anybody talking Samaritan. God knows what he's doing. Can I get a witness on that? See, God wasn't working the map. God was working the crowd. And guess what? I don't think God left anybody out in the crowd. If they were there, they heard somebody declaring the glories of God in their own language. Are you tracking with this? God's doing something incredible. Every nation under heaven that was there. And he gave them a language to speak. Can you imagine if God had you speak Chinese right now? It might be less than comfortable. Whoa, what is this? But in the same way that the fire came down from heaven, God is not so concerned with your comfort. And if you will surrender your comfort and begin to focus on him, see, there's two ways God can have you start speaking Chinese. He can give you the language, or he can give you the words. Now, if he gives you the language, it would be like I can communicate in Chinese. If he gave me Vietnamese, I could speak to Melinda, and Melinda would be going, whoa, I didn't know you knew Vietnamese. Or my brother here in Haitian, he said, I didn't know you knew Haitian. Man, I just thought this guy was from California. And they would be bewildered, right? Now, God can give me a language and I can speak to my brother in Haitian, or he can give me words and I can say the words to Melinda and I might not know what those words are. You know, you see the difference between giving me words and giving me language? And we can wonder, I wonder which one these guys got. Because sometimes he just gave you the words. How do we know that? 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. God is giving me words, and I don't know what they mean. And you know what? For a long time, I was real uncomfortable with that. Anybody might find that uncomfortable? Oh, yeah. So, whoa, I don't understand. I can't master this. How many of the things of God are you able to master? The more I serve God, the more I realize, the less I'm able to master what he's got going on. Amen? I find out that God is a whole lot bigger than me. That God does a whole lot more powerful stuff than I can do. And that if I'm going to master it, I got to shrink him down to be this big. And if I shrink him down to be this big, he's a whole lot smaller than he is right now. But so many of us want to shrink God down to be our size. Some of us like God to be a little bit smaller than us. Then we can order him around. Kind of like a little brother. God, I need you to do this. Ladies, you know, you say, God, can you do a little vacuuming for me? That's what sons are for, right? There we go. Uh-oh, I got a hiss on that. From my daughter, my wife. She goes, that's what husbands are for. God is looking for people who would surrender their comfort and put a focus on him. And when you put a focus on him, you'll find power in your life. And mothers surrender their comfort. That's where that slide was. All right. Thank you for looking for that, Mike. Okay. God's looking for focus. These people make a choice. They say, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? That is a great question. Amen? What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. These people make a choice. And they make a good choice. They make the right choice. God wants us to come to an awareness that he's doing something. We need to come to the right choice. What we choose, God is going to let us choose. But so often, we miss the right choice. We're talking about the wrong stuff. There are some people today that are totally focused on whether or not the Padres are going to beat the Phillies. It's the wrong focus today. Amen? The wrong priorities in their lives. These people, God had got their attention. And at least they were thinking about the right thing. They were asking the right question. What does this mean? Maybe you come in here this morning. God has got your attention. You're wondering, what does all this mean? God wants you thinking about what he means. God wants your attention and your focus. He wants that so that he can do something in you. There's some who say no. These guys are drunk. This is nothing. This is nothing that I need to worry about. This is nothing that I need to focus on. These guys are just drunk. Now, I've been around a lot of drunk people. Anybody else? I've been around drunk people, and they have made no sense at all. Amen? Amen? I have not been around one drunk person who started speaking in a different language. Right? Can I get a witness on that? It's like, whoa, hey, that's Swahili. No, he's just drunk. No, it don't happen like that. For you to speak into another language, it takes a whole lot of cognitive skill, or somebody who's got a whole lot more cognitive skill giving you some words to say. Amen? It does not come out of a bottle. If it came out of a bottle, I would have discovered it long ago. And some of you as well. The right choice. The right challenge. You have to choose. Some said no. God let them say no. God will let you choose poorly. He doesn't want you to, but he will. 2 Peter 3, second half of verse 9, it says, he is patient with you. Has God been patient with you? That's a mothering kind of quality God has, right? Not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He waited on me 29 years. How long did he wait upon you? Are you glad he was patient? Amen? God will let you choose poorly. He does not force anyone into heaven.
That's right.
Amen? Now, there's some things that your mom is going to force you to do. Brush your teeth. Right? Wash behind your ear. Wash that ear. And eat that spinach. You said it, right? Eat vegetables right there. So, sometimes God has some mothering qualities, and sometimes the mothering qualities don't line up on the Lord. The Lord does want you to eat your spinach. Amen? All right, there you go. All right, here we go. Peter starts to preach, and this is the part I like. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, because they're all Jews. It's the day of Pentecost. And all of you live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully what I'm going to say. Check it out. He's got the crowd. He's got the 120 believers flowing out of that upper room. They're all speaking in these other languages, and the people are perplexed. What is going on? Some are saying, these guys are drunk. Don't worry about it. Let's go, man. They got a big old party going over here, Pentecost party. Peter says, no, these guys aren't drunk. Let me tell you what is going on. He says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel 400 years ago. And God is still on track. God is still working out his plan. Amen? He says, in the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Look, there's 120 of us. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my service boat, men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
Amen.
Peter starts with correction. Come in here today. You might need some correction. These guys aren't drunk. This is not how drunk people act. God will let you choose poorly, but he's going to make you work at it. God will take the truth and put it right in front of your face. Are you sure? Are you sure? And some of us are sure, right? And we choose poorly and we head right back to what God has delivered us from. And another round and another series of mishaps in our lives that take us to bring us to what? To bring us to the right choice. See, today, if your focus right now is going, what should I do? Right? What does this mean? At least you have come to the right choice. Now you need to choose right or wrong. God won't make you do either one, but he will definitely show you truth.
That's right.
Amen? These guys aren't drunk. This is what was talked about by the prophet Joel. We've been waiting on this. We've been expecting this. You might need a message of correction. You might not want it. You might not like it. But you need it. God will bring it to you. Peter starts to preach under the power of God. The Bible tells us that we will receive power and that we will be his witnesses. That the power of God is tied to the message of God. The message of the kingdom of God. My question is if you're sitting here today and you say, I just need power for me. I mean, if Belshazzar just wants to get out of that chair today because he wants to get out of that chair and he's tired of a red chair, that's one thing. If he's saying, God, get me out of this chair and I will be a world transformer for you.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. It's a whole different way. Say, Lord, I am yours. I will serve you. Now, here's the problem, or here's the issue. He can be a world changer inside that chair. Amen?
Amen.
Johnny Erickson Tata lives in a wheelchair, quadriplegic. I'll tell you, that girl preaches to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. Been all over the world writing books. God uses her handicap as a way to reach people. Is there power there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She didn't even move her body. And she transformed lives. See, if you'll put your focus on God, put your comfort away. So many of us want to be comfortable. I think there's some ladies today didn't show up and say, you know what, it's my day. It might be Mother's Day, but every day is God's day. Amen. Hallelujah. See, and it's Mother's Day, and they don't come to the right choice, and they don't even get to choose right or wrong. Amen, Balthazar? Hallelujah. They get 400 years, man. It's too long to wait. 400 years ago, 1612. The pilgrims weren't even pilgrims yet. It wasn't until 1620. Ancient history. It's too far gone. We don't care. It's too old. And Peter says, you don't care about 400 years ago? He says, let's talk about today. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Let's talk about today, folks. Let's talk about choices that you have made. And I got to think, maybe it got a little bit quiet in that crowd. Oh, yeah, I was in the crowd going, crucify him! That was just 40 days ago, 50 days ago. I was there. I shouted, crucify him. What should we do? What can we do? He did miracles. He healed the sick. He restored the sight to the blind. He even raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. He performed miracle after miracle. You welcomed him as king. And then you crucified him. What can we do? What can we do? That's their response. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And he could have said, you blew it. You crucified the Messiah, and I just showed up today to let you know you're going to hell. But God is not like that. God extends an opportunity for you to make a change. He says, verse 38, repent. That means do an about face in your life. That means be transformed in your focus and your attention. Surrender your comfort and put a focus on God and ask him what he wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you are going to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the choice that you have today. That is the opportunity that you have today. People heard this. Cut to the heart. Our God is a God of mercy. And he will give you an opportunity today. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God was talking to them. God had their focus. Doing about face. And God's eyes are attuned to your prayer. He says that God worked in the group. And God worked on individual people there. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe God is tugging on the strings of your heart. Maybe you are thinking, I have messed up over and over and over and over. I have told God no and no and no and no. What shall I do? What shall I do? And if God is speaking to your heart this morning, you are not too far gone.
Right.
Amen? That God has called you to this place. We prayed last night for a couple just within a block of here. I was hoping they were going to be here today. I was hoping that God was going to speak to their hearts and give them a new opportunity. But they said no before they even showed up. You're here. God's given you an opportunity. Lisa, could you come up and play for me? Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you still baptizing the Holy Spirit, Lord. You're still baptizing fire, Lord, that you are still a God who extends his hand from heaven and says, reach out your hand and I will set you free. Put your focus on me. When you seek me with your whole heart, that is when you will find me. And you are here this morning, and the Lord has spoken to your heart and has said over and over and over again, you have told me no, and I'll give you another chance. On this Mother's Day, I extend you the heart of a mother, and I extend you the hand from heaven that has paid for your sins. Nobody looking around right now, but you're freaking out a little bit. Because you feel that God is just speaking right to your heart and right to your soul, and that this whole message is just for you. And you want to say no again. Today you're ready to put that comfort aside and put a focus on him. You're sitting there thinking, Lord, whatever you want. I have messed up so many times in my life. I've told you no so many times, Lord. Speak to my heart this morning. Let me know. Confirm this word, Lord. I'm shaking in my core and in my being, Lord. I want to miss you again. You're here this morning, and God is doing that for you, and has just been speaking to you the whole time since you've been here. And you say, oh, Lord, if you'll take me, here I am. Lord, is that you this morning? The Lord's just speaking right to your heart. You're saying, Lord, here I am. I'm your servant. I came here for Mother's Day, but I'm here for Pentecost, Lord. I want to be transformed in my very existence. If that's you, and you've told God no, 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 and today you want to tell God yes, I just want you to slide your hand up. Nobody's looking around. Just slide your hand up right back here and right over there, back there and here, anybody else say, there I am. Here I am, Lord, right here. God, just do me a favor. Just put your hand up and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am right now. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord. I give you the focus of my life, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I ask, Lord, that you would come and transform my life. I give you my focus, Lord. I give you my focus. I give you my attention, Lord. Show me what you want me to do, and that's what I will do. Lord, for each one here, Lord, that you are speaking to and have called for this very reason, Lord, I pray, Lord, an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you come and seal them, Lord. Let them know, Lord. Saying no, no more. All our answers are yes, yes, and yes. We thank you for that, Lord. All right, one last thing. You put your hand down. You're here, and you have done that, and you are serving the Lord. And you see what happened in Peter. And Peter, there was 12 disciples, and there was 120 in that upper room, and they were focused, and they were praying. And out of that 120, 3,000 Jews gave their life to Jesus that day, and the church was born. Pretty awesome, amen? God says he is still pouring out his Spirit. And you can be sitting here this morning thinking, I want to be a world changer like Peter. Lord, I want to be touched by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be empowered by your Holy Spirit in the way those 120 disciples, men and women, were touched. Lord, I want to be able to be a witness for you, Lord. I want to be a mighty tool in your hand, Lord. I want to testify to your greatness, Lord. I want you to use me in a mighty way. There's some of you who want to take that step in the Lord this morning. Some of you are thinking, you know, I'm a teacher. I want to be a better teacher. I want to be a Spirit-empowered teacher. Some of you have not said anything to your neighbors or anything like that about the Lord. You're saying, Lord, empower me. I'm going to speak your word with boldness. Amen? And you're thinking, I don't even know the word, but I want to be used by the Lord in a mighty way. I want to experience that. And if that's you, see, the 120 believers, right, they were in that room. They were seeking God for days, maybe a week. Distractions all over the place. Pentecost, people everywhere. They had other places they could have been. They were there that day. You're here this day. And you're here this morning. And you're saying, Lord, I want to be used in a new and mighty way. I'm looking for an empowerment, Lord. I want to put my focus on you, and I want that baptism, Lord. I want that baptism of power and might. And Lord, I'm willing to give up my comfort to get it. If that's you, I just want you to just stand where you're at. We're going to sing. And we're going to sing this song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. I just want you to just, if that's you, if that's not you, that's okay. You can stay seated. If that's you, you're saying, Lord, I want to be used by you in a new and mighty way. I want to have impact on the situations around me. I just want you to stand up right where you're at and just put your hand up. And as we sing this song, I want you to just pray out. Say, Lord, here I am. Rain down on me from heaven, Lord. Put your hand upon me and equip me. Put your hand, both hands up. Both hands up. Just call out to God. Let this be a prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing that, Lisa. Hallelujah. Sing that, Lisa. Hallelujah. Sing that, Lisa. Hallelujah. Sing that, Lisa. Hallelujah. Sing that, Lisa.